Welcome back. Another week, another episode of Dynasty Theory. I'm John Bauer. We're joined by Dan Lemagne. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, gentlemen? Ready for a fun podcast this morning? Just slightly adjusting to the time change here. I was like, oh boy, we got a pod this morning. So ready to roll, though. Ready to roll.
Speaking of adjusting really quick, I'm glad you said that, Dan, because it reminded me. As I always do, I went back and watched last week's episode. You know, it's like watching film. You got to study. You got to be prepared. You were off camera so often that episode. Really? You were like leaning that way a lot. I just wanted to point that out. Listen, Dan's face, that's the moneymaker. That's what brings the people in, you know? Anyway, Mitch, what's up, man?
What's going on? Second show this morning. Everyone, we already did the pivot point for the patrons earlier. It's a fun discussion on startup topics and my strategy that everybody seems to hate, but at least it's fun. So if you're in the Discord, check it out.
I don't know if Bill's kidding. He says, I put the clocks the incorrect way last night. That would really mess you up. All right. Dan, you do look a little groggy this morning. You're right.
The lighting's out here too. So I'm in my office and I have the ceiling fan up here. Now I've got like our studio lights and, you know, stuff for the pod. But the ceiling fan light was an LED light, and it went out.
Oh.
So I had to order a light because they don't sell them in stores. And, you know, hopefully I can fix it. We'll see.
Yeah.
If not, I didn't do a ceiling fan. But so we're a little off, but hey, we're ready to roll, man. The content's going to be solid.
Yes, it will be. Oh, and Mitch and I were messaging yesterday talking about content. Mm-hmm. The last few years for the NFL draft, we have done kind of a watch party on the Patreon. But the first two nights of the NFL draft this year, we're going to be doing a YouTube live stream. We'll also have the patron Discord channel going, but we'll be putting out some content this year as well, as opposed to me destroying boxed wine all night. And those two things aren't mutually exclusive. So don't, it's true. You know, all right. So those will be the first chance. The draft will get more details for everybody. So we had this question come up in the Discord, and it was interesting because it certainly, you could talk about it with startups, you could talk about it specifically with this rookie class when you're in your rookie drafts, you can talk about it in existing leagues with veterans. The way the quarterback market looks today, again, whether it's incoming rookies, veterans, and then specifically the 2025 rookie class. And Dan was like, well, I got to get my crystal ball out for this episode. But there's so little hype right now talking about the 2025 rookies, and 2026 is just so far down the road. Does this kind of change your strategy when looking at the quarterback landscape? Does it impact the way you're going to be approaching the rookie drafts this year, because the expectation as of now is the subpar quarterback talent coming out in 2025? And Mitch, I want to start with you.
I think so. The hardest thing for me in this rookie class is I love Roma Dunze. I love Malik Nabers, but there's some teams that I have, and I know everyone says best player available. That's great if you're in leagues to where you can trade. I have quite a few leagues to where trading just doesn't happen. It's pretty much non-existent. It might as well be a best ball league to where you can't trade with how low the trading volume is in those leagues. But my quarterbacks are Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, maybe Kirk Cousins is in there, right? I really think I need to attack the rookie quarterback class coming in, because I think all these guys could be special in their own way. And I don't think you could say that for next year's class. I think there's one quarterback coming out, Sanders, who could rise up our boards and end up being pretty good. But I don't like any of the rest of them, to be honest. And so what I think that means is everyone else is going to cover these quarterbacks as well, but they might start covering them more in August and September, when people be like, oh wow, my starting lineup is really bad, I need to go attack a quarterback. If you could do that early in May, I think you're going to be ahead of everybody else in your leagues.
I think you've got a good approach to it. And it, as much as I bust your chops in the chat there, like, hey, you know, where's that crystal ball? Who knows what's going to happen in 25? Because, you know, there are going to be some quarterbacks that are going to rise up behind Sanders, who I love from Colorado. But The answer is, I think, an overwhelming yes. Between these quarterbacks in this class, Marvin Harrison Jr., the deep wide receiver class that Mitch alluded to, Brock Bowers, like, you can't go wrong. Like, the focus is on the quarterback because it is a deep quarterback class, much deeper than next year. But even if you didn't land who you wanted along the way, you are getting some gems to trade here, man, between the receivers, Bowers. You got a late first. You could still come out with a good running back. So even though part of me was, you know, the usual Coach Dan last year, trading many of my draft picks away, I did keep more than any past season and probably my history of dynasty. I've got some high ones. I've got some ones this year that I'm excited for. Now, as we enter like rookie draft season, I will be more aggressive, not over the top, but assertive and trying to get first where I don't have them, or maybe even moving up in that first round. And I am definitely more inclined to move those 2025 picks.
Now, do you think we're going to see, you know, getting out ahead of everything, the way that these quarterbacks are valued in this 2024 class, Mitch, do you think we're going to see people potentially reach on a JJ McCarthy, potentially reach on a Bo Nix, even if he doesn't go in the first? Let's say he goes in the early second. I think because of that, because of the current landscape, because of the current quarterback market, and because of the quarterbacks coming out in the near future, I think that's going to play a part here.
People do that anyways. I mean, people are doing it with like Desmond Ritter and
Malik Willis.
If Bo Nix goes in the top half of the second round, he's going to end up being a first round startup pick in Dynasty, just because that's what people do. I'm not going to say you should do it, but there will be one person in your Dynasty league that will probably trade up, because it's probably not going to be a great manager to begin with. They're going to trade up and overspend and take Bo Nix, and their team will suffer for it in the future years.
Now, maybe I challenge a little bit there, like a half challenge flag. Is that a bad strategy if, let's say, a JJ McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, any of those three get drafted to a team where we know the plan is to start them? Worst case scenario, do you get a Danny Dimes or Mac Jones that is at least going to service your dynasty team for X amount of years until you could figure it out, versus not even having a quarterback, but yet having the upside for one of them to be even better?
I think the issue with that is, sorry, John, I cut you off there, but you're bringing up, let's say Bo Nix goes in the second round, right? He's getting compared to Daniel Jones, who was a top 10 draft pick, I think. I mean, Mac Jones went in the first round. So you need to compare him to Desmond Ritter. That's kind of what you're hoping for, is you hope he could get somehow the Desmond Ritter experience, or Sam Howell. Sam Howell's another good one, right? To where, yeah, maybe he is your starting quarterback for 2 years, but you know every single week he could be replaced by Andy Dalton, right? You're just waiting for them to be replaced, because if they were really that good, if they really had that much talent, an NFL team would buy into them at this point. I know there's the Tom Brady's that happen, but that's more likely than not.
That's what I want to clarify, though. I'm not saying getting drafted in the second round. I'm like, if this becomes a quarterback heavy first round draft,
okay.
If those guys go in the first round, even if it's wherever in the first round,
then yes,
you got something to roll your dice on.
I'm with you there.
The team's invested in them. The team investment is what guarantees, I think, X amount of starting years.
And it's my comment. Finally, I was able to get a word in.
That felt good then.
The guys that you're potentially passing on for an NFL second round draft pick in Bo Nix, like, the you might be passing on a Xavier Worthy in order to make that pick. You may be passing on a Troy Franklin, if a Brian Thomas, depending on what happens there. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys that you're passing on that would certainly have stronger profiles, and that's the issue here. I think it's the opportunity cost that you'd be going out and acquiring a player like a Bo Nix. But again, it would be because he goes in the second round. But then Dan's point there, if he does get that investment, that's certainly going to be different. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a Michael Penix, or depending on where a Spencer Rattler goes. I mean, maybe he creeps up into the middle of the second somehow, especially with all these glowing reports. It's certainly going to be an interesting one, because we always look at the future classes. But here's my thing. When this question was first posed to us, my initial thought was like, this isn't like an NFL situation where, okay, there aren't strong quarterbacks, maybe outside of Shutter or Sanders as of now, coming out in 2025. So I got to get my quarterback now in the NFL, right? But this isn't the NFL. We are able to do things with value across the board. So just because there aren't quarterbacks coming out next year, maybe that makes me want to invest in the veteran quarterback market a little bit more. You know, you're not forced to reach on a quarterback in this year's rookie draft simply because of what the outlook is for next year and maybe even a little bit beyond. Is that fair?
It's very fair. It pretty much leads us into the next question that we're on the notes is like, there's those middling quarterbacks now, right? To where you have Carr, Mayfield, Rodgers. Looks like Russ Wilson is going to get another job. Knowing the class that we have next year, the back end of this year's class, these guys are going to have jobs in 2 or 3 years, no matter what, because there are going to be teams in the NFL that are like, look, we have to start somebody. Our roster's not bad. You go into the Pittsburgh Steelers situation right now, mm-hmm. to where they have Kenny Pickett who could sink their season, or maybe Russ can give them just enough to make the playoffs. And we know the Steelers are not a rebuilding kind of team. So maybe they do bring in Russ. Then all of a sudden, as much as I made fun of him in Denver, I could see myself having a lot of Russ on my rosters because it's, I got him for 2 years. That's what I need before I need to make moves in the next year's rookie drafts.
Yeah, so I think the outlook with 25 and beyond, it certainly elevates a player like a Russell Wilson. Hell, maybe even a Will Levis, even if he doesn't perform mm-hmm. necessarily, they have a quarterback, they you know, on a rookie contract, they could see where it goes. Geno Smith, Derek Carr. So I do think it elevates these types of players. Now, is that going to be even a little bit further down like a Daniel Jones, an Aaron Rodgers, a Kenny Pickett? No, because from even though Aaron Rodgers recently came out and said, I could see myself playing 4 more years. Maybe he's on his retreat. Raven in the chat says, Steelers that desperate, Wilson. Here in Pittsburgh, if Russell Wilson ends up a Steeler, this is an open invitation. He doesn't have to worry about cooking. He can come over for dinner anytime here. All right. True Steeler fan right here. So looking at current market with these quarterbacks, is this a situation where you go out and look at these veterans now, or do you wait to see how free agency, how the dust settles, how the NFL rookie draft hits? Dan, you mentioned in the chat yesterday, kind of with question 3 and 4, when we talk about it, well, I want to kind of see how that plays out. Is that any different than like with a Baker Mayfield or Russell Wilson now?
I think they're two different categories. If you're talking Baker Mayfield and your boy Russell Wilson, and
we'll get it.
I'll get into Russ as we go in the show. But
for the record, I have Baker Mayfield a tier ahead Russ. I'm not saying.
Okay, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I'm a little scared, Mitch. If Russ Wilson meets the Steelers, this could really, you know, take Dynasty Theory to new heights here with JB's analysis of Russ. But we'll
be an actual Steelers fan. Like he will actually like the Steelers.
I love that. No, I mean, right now, like if in need, I am not against shopping for a Baker, a Geno, a Stafford, maybe a Carr on the real cheap, if in need. But I'm taking that category of quarterback versus the wait and see where these guys go, because this may not work out the way you intend it, and I don't want to overpay for a guy that I'm not that high on in the first places. In most cases, if I am shopping, I really want to be obtaining a quarterback that helps me forget about my quarterback for a position for a few years. So very little interest in shopping these free agent guys because I'm just not really high on any of them.
But then on the other hand, I think it elevates these guys. If you have them on your roster now, I think it opens up the trade market and the potential players that you could be getting. Yes, you want to be starting with the top tier quarterback. See if you can work a deal, package up. Pivot off of other assets, whether it's 24 picks, 25 picks, veterans, whatever. If that's not possible, then you start working your way down. And once you get to a certain point, a player like a Stafford. I think his value is going to be elevated as the season approaches because of all these things we talked about. You know, and right now in the sheets on the Dynasty Theory Patreon, I have this whole group of guys in green because based on current market, I think they're buys, whether it's cross-positionally or in position. But a Russell Wilson, a Geno Smith, a Derek Carr, they're boring veteran quarterbacks, and there are certainly question marks. But you look across 32 NFL teams, even with the hate these guys get, they're top 32 quarterbacks across the league. Look at the guys that saw starting time here in 2024. The quarterback position, it's hurting.
It's hurting a lot. There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of bubble guys. And we're not even talking about some of those rumors we're hearing where, hey, Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson potentially to a Vikings-type team if they couldn't re-sign Cousins. Like, at some point, that draft's going to happen. That free agent well is going to kind of dry up. And then who's left and who still needs a quarterback? It's going to be really interesting to see. I think there's an opportunity to buy really low. Like, you make those other kind of trades where you get that throw-in guy and, hey, throw me in Sam Darnold. Hey, if you can get like a guy like that for free and then maybe you end up with a starting quarterback later, that might be as good as a gamble as your boy Russ Wilson, JP.
Yeah, I think we can throw a bunch of quarterbacks in that Sam Howell, Gardner Minshew, Mac Jones, Aiden O'Connell, depending on what happens there in Vegas, Trey Lance. I know, you know, there's rumors that the trade market is heating up, but there are guys that may potentially have an opportunity because of the state of the quarterback position. And I see Cole in the chat saying, I'm not sure Geno has much job security. Maybe it's not in Seattle, but he, if things didn't pan out here, even though I do expect an uptick, and I've talked about Geno Smith being a buy throughout this entire offseason, I do believe that Geno Smith would find a job elsewhere. You could throw Jarrett Stidham in there. Cole in the chat says that as well. Geist free Sam Howell. You know,
JB, I like how you're listing like these potential quarterbacks too, because we play in a lot of 14, 16 team deeper dynasty leagues where those backup quarterbacks are very valuable. And say the majority of these guys, maybe one of them might get a starting job, but you're naming probably the best of the backups there too. In those deeper dynasty leagues, they're nice to stash.
All right. Anything else with the veterans? Again, I know it's not a sexy topic,
but it matters. That's the
thing. It matters.
Yeah. We talk all the time on the probably the best way to build a dynasty roster is starting off with two of those top seven quarterbacks, right? You do that, you are so set in stone, you're fine. But there's only one team in the league that could do that, maybe two teams. So there's 10 other teams in dynasty leagues at minimum that need to figure out what to do with quarterbacks. And right now I'm telling you that if you don't have two or three of these veteran guys, if you're in that position, you're going to be hurting even more next year, because everyone's going to want, like, there is going to be a college quarterback that comes out we end up liking, right? Whether it's Jaden Daniels was the one this year, right? And previously it was Anthony Richardson. There's always one guy that's going to pop up that we're not talking about this moment, but they're going to be ranked so highly because all these other guys, they're just going to kind of hang out, right? So just make sure that you get your veteran quarterbacks earlier this offseason than trying to trade for them in August is my biggest takeaway from that.
This is an interesting topic here. If you have to name, and this is where the crystal ball comes into play.
That's right.
Dan, you got to give an answer though, man. No cop out. If you have to name one quarterback, and really quick, let me clarify here, Mitch, since you posed this question, are we allowed to include incoming rookies?
I have a rookie that I want to bring up if we need to. And if not, I have a veteran. So I went with both angles on this because I think we're all going to say a rookie at first because that's how Dynasty works. But if not, I also have a veteran.
All right. And if you're in the chat, if you're watching live, if you're watching back on YouTube, drop a quarterback name in the chat here that fits this prompt. If you have to name one quarterback that is currently ranked outside of the top 10, that could enter the top six quarterbacks in 2025 from a value perspective, who would it be? Mitch, start with
me?
You.
Okay. So I'm going to go with the rookie first, and it's Drake May for me. I think he has the rushing upside that could get him there, and it just really depends on his landing spot. But rookies, it's not probably fair to bring up, right? So I'm going to go with Tua. I really think Tua is the guy to where everyone's worried about injuries. He's gone through a year and he's been pretty healthy, right? we're kind of worried what happens when Tyreek leaves. Maybe he goes out and has another nuclear year. We know that coaching staff, one of the best coaching staffs in football, and they've had answers every year. We were like, well, what happens when people start to play press now? Because we saw press happen 2 years ago. They pretty much stopped the Dolphins offense. Now they fix that. And now they have A-Chain coming out the backfield, who is amazing. You give them all offseason to find those answers that they need. I think Miami could be obscenely good on offense this year. They could easily be the best offense in the league again. And they could be the best offense in the league, 10% above what the second best offense in the league is. I think if that happens, we could see Tua finally make that jump because he is only 26 years old right now.
All right, we got people in the chat cheating. All right, so I'm going to pose the question again for some of us that didn't listen. Bill, all right, if you have to name one quarterback that is currently ranked outside the top 10 that could enter the top six, who would it be? And then based on Dynasty Daddy and Fantasy Calc positional values, that eliminates Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, and Jordan Love. Dan, were you going to say Jordan Love?
He's in my class here. He's in my class, you know? So let me dive in. So, Mitch, I really love this question. And even though I have this visual of, like, alongside, like, JB's bed, there's a little Russ Wilson picture there and, like, a little rosary. And, like, Russ Wilson is not the answer. So let's clear that. And again, it depends who the top 10 is, JB. So I didn't know we were going by an official ranking somewhere that had, unfortunately, Jordan Love in there. He was on my list of three, maybe four here. Jordan Love, I think something's happening in Green Bay there. You know, again, the run games, Aaron Jones isn't getting any younger. Those receivers are really stepping up, and they're all really young. And I just watched them torch my Cowboys, which, you know, I don't know if that's a big feat or not. But so he's impressed with me, the guy that I thought could. But if we're counting him in the top 10, then it gets a little bit harder. I think Mitch gave a good answer in two, especially with Coach Vic Fangio leaving on defense. Like, they may have to score more points too this year in Miami. Although I'm not a big, like, high on Tua right now, so it was a little hard for me to pick him, but I did put him as a mention because of the defensive issues, and he's still getting prime Tyreek and Waddle and all that. And then just the dark horse that no one's going to agree on, that no one's talking about, but I still think is a good quarterback. I'm really watching to see what they do in free agency in the draft. It's just Trevor Lawrence. I just think he's, if you're going to bet on talent and potential, he's a guy that could sneak in there, even though I'm not holding my breath. I think he's a guy with list. And then insert rookie quarterback here would be my number four. You mentioned that as we started this conversation. You get a rookie in the right landing spot, looking at the rest of the quarterback board, you just never know.
Okay. All right. Do I have to throw somebody out?
Yeah, and it better be someone good, too.
Not Russell Wilson.
I'm looking
at Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, the easy answer for me is Kyler Murray.
Yeah, yeah. But he's quarterback 11 right now.
Hey, that's the easy answer for me. Jaden Daniels. I mean, if we're talking rookies, you said Drake May, Jaden Daniels. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. I think Justin Fields has, like, that the range of outcomes. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but it's within the range of outcomes. Like, you got to look at these quarterbacks that have the high end, especially rushing upside, and Justin Fields fits that bill. But can I say, as gross as this is, Deshaun Watson, and I only say it, listen, I only say it because he's a quarterback that was valued there before. So is it likely? No. But realistically, this leads into question four perfectly.
Well, hold on, wait, I have a quick question real quick. Sorry. I want to get you two on record on this. How high do you think Bryce Young can get this year? Let's say the Panthers have a decent season. Right now, he's quarterback 20. Keep in mind, he was the 101 he was the quarterback one for a lot of people last year. How high do you think he could get, even if he has a pretty good season? Well, you don't think that offense is going to be elite, but let's just say they go out and win 8 to 9 games and he isn't like the worst quarterback in the league like he was this past season.
Quarterback 16 or 17. I think that's ceiling. There is far too much risk with Bryce Young versus the potential upside, in my opinion. I think it's not a necessary risk. I know we have people in the Discord and on the overall Dynasty community that are still happily investing in him. You know, a lot of people say, well, we gave Trevor Lawrence the benefit of the doubt because of what happened with Urban Meyer and the dumpster fire his rookie season. Let's do it with Bryce Young. I don't see it. And I think it's not a necessary risk.
Even if he has an okay season, I don't even see how he gets past 20 because I really don't know where an okay season is going to come from for the Panthers. Like, who are they going to overpay for in free agency? Is the top studs are already off the board at wide receiver. They messed up the draft. Like, I think this reclamation project in Carolina is quite far away. I don't think see how they could fix that enough for him this year. I feel bad for the guy.
I only brought this up because we talk about landing spots so much, and I think we all kind of overlooked about how bad that Panthers offense truly was going to be going into the season. So just be careful if one of these rookies goes into a really bad spot, like the Patriots right now. The Patriots have nothing on offense. It's really worrying for these rookies going in to where if you use them and you take them high in this year's draft and you miss out on a Roma Dunze, you miss out on a Neighbors because of that, it could really haunt you for many future years to come.
All right. We talk about the guys that, I mean, again, potentially could be top six. Like, realistically, I would say less than 5% chance that anybody right now valued outside of the top 10 is getting into the top six, only because it doesn't only hinge on what they do, but we need somebody in that top six to struggle and to really fall in value. So right now, I think there's a, let's see, between both Dynasty Daddy and Fantasy Calc, there are seven guys that are top six in one or the other. Mm-hmm. So let's go through them. And Dan, I want to start with you. Who is most likely to fall out of the top 10? Not saying it's going to happen, but out of this group of seven, who's most likely to fall out of the top 10 a year from now? And then based on that, making them a sell this offseason. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud.
I have two here. One is Justin Herbert, and I love Justin Herbert to a degree, but I'm just really feeling like that run volume might be coming in with the Chargers. I still think there's some receiver questions. Keenan's getting older. Is Quentin Johnson anything? Mike Williams is coming off surgery. Just what if we've seen his best? And there are some upcoming guys that are coming that I think could just, again, not saying Justin Herbert's not an awesome quarterback and going to be great in the NFL, but I could see him sliding out of the top 10 statistically. And then my runner-up would be Jalen Hurts. I just feel like something's happening in Philadelphia that just doesn't feel right. You know, they seem to be some tension. The media is kind of eating them up a little bit. I think this head coach is a year away from being fired. I could see things falling off the wheels there.
Mitch, is it any different for you?
It's the exact same.
It's the same for me, too.
Almost for the same reasons. And it's not these guys' talent. I think they're both extremely talented quarterbacks. Could be the franchise quarterback for, you know, 23 other teams in the NFL. But that coaching situation is rough on both of them. We think Harbaugh is going to be good. We don't know if Harbaugh is going to come in and be a good NFL coach again, right?
I'm glad you added again.
I said again.
I know.
Yeah. And Nick Sirianni, I mean, they almost fired him this past season, right? And who knows if they keep him all through next season, if they go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak. So it's nothing to do with Hurts and Herbert themselves. I think they're great, but we are very fickle as a community when it comes to values. I mean, as you see, Bryce Young, he was probably a top 12 quarterback last season, and now he's 20. And as the previous conversation went, he might get to 16. So this is how we saw it 2 years ago with Dak, right? Dak had one bad game against Tampa Bay, I think, to open the season. Mm-hmm. And his value just dove. And it can happen with these guys, too.
And then he got injured.
Yeah, he had the thumb issue, right? To where, while we don't think it's going to happen with these guys, I think those are the two that have the highest likelihood that it could happen.
Yeah, I don't know that there's much disagreement across the board, especially from the three of us. Like Herbert Hurts, I think Herbert the volume is going to be the narrative throughout this entire offseason. Hurts, it's losing his Hall of Fame center to retirement. It's just with these stories you hear coming out of Philadelphia. And it's also losing that goatee. Like, how much swag is he going to have? I can't even say this with a straight face. I love how, like, some people actually look at that. They're like, well, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. And listen, back, you know me. I overthink everything. Back to question three. My answer is Justin Fields. I don't even want to.
Absolutely hate that.
Yeah, I don't even want to pretend like I brought up Deshaun Watson, because there's no way in hell he goes up to a top six. Justin Fields, it's within the range of outcomes. Is it likely? No. So get my Clippers out, because I'm hedging right now. It is not likely, but it is possible. I just don't know that it's possible for almost anybody else outside of the top 12, 13, 14, certainly. I mean, my real answer was Kyler Murray, but I was told I was cheating because he's quarterback 11. All right. Any other thoughts on whether it's the 25 class, how that plays in the current quarterback market, the lowly veterans, guys that could catapult themselves up into the top six or outside of the top 10?
I do have a final thought for it, though.
You do? All right, Dan, do you got anything else before you? Do you have any pre-final thoughts? No.
Final thoughts.
Mitch, we're starting with you today, buddy.
All right.
Episode 236 in the book. We're talking about the quarterback market. A lot of interesting topics, conversations, and some food for thought, as Raven in the chat said. So what do you got for our listeners?
If Kirk Cousins does get signed by the Falcons, which we're all kind of thinking he does, everyone has him valued way too low right now. His value is going to go up. I mean, it could only end up being quarterback 12, right? But he's just as good as Jared Goff. He's a couple of years older, but I think that offense is going to be so good. There's going to be so much hype for that offense all offseason. He is a guy you want to go out today if you can to get him, more so than after he signs with the Falcons. Because if he signs with the Falcons, oh boy, that's a rocket ship right there.
And this final thought's actually going to turn into a secondary question here. Let's say Kirk Cousins, and I know, Mitch, you even said, I don't want to do the pre-free agent. Well, if this happens, because everything, even things we want to happen, it never works that way, right? But let's say Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. The great Russell Wilson comes to Pittsburgh. Baker Mayfield stays in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Where does Justin Fields end up?
He might be a backup. We were talking about this in DMs, I think in the Patreon chat. There's a decent chance to where he doesn't have a starting job next year. And that's a worry, man.
That's
wild to think about.
I talk about that range of outcomes. He's either getting you 20 to 22 fantasy points per game, or he's holding a clipboard. All right, Dan, what do you got for our final thoughts?
Hey, just looking at March right now. This week coming up is big, March 11th to 13th. We have the legal tampering period. It starts noon Monday, goes to 4 p.m. on Wednesday, and then the official league year kicks off March 13th. It's really excited, boys. And then, you know me, guys, the United Football League also starts March 30th.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Deep dynasty there, man. You get some gems, you know?
All right. And then, Mitch, we got to start coordinating, getting everything in order for the draft show. We're only, what, 7 weeks away?
Not long.
We got to get moving here. The chat was fantastic today, as it always is. We really appreciate it. For Mitch Sorensen, Dan LaMagna, I'm John Bauer. We'll catch everybody in the Discord. We'll catch everybody, like I said, conversations 24/7. Every single day in the Discord. It's completely free. Jump in. Link is in the episode description. If you haven't had a chance, come check it out. We appreciate everybody. We'll catch you next week. Hopefully, free agency favors your fantasy football teams, and You're in good spirits because of that. All right. See you, everyone.